Today, we like to set aside a time as our children have returned back to school to take a Sunday in the early part of fall, I know technically falls this week, to specifically talk about our vision. So we've titled it Vision Sunday. So whether you're watching from home or you're here with us in a pretty full house, it's very exciting to be together. We are going to be talking about a message I've titled Renewed Vision, and kind of an ode and a recognition for the Bible Project summer Bible study series that we just did. We're going to look at one of the scripture passages to launch us out. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5 is something that we looked at this past summer, and I want to open up our time of thinking about a renewed vision for our church, for you and your family, for you individually, as we now jump into the fall. Revelation 22, you can follow along in your Bibles where you're seated or at home or here at Trinity, and you can follow along also on the screen. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is God's word. On that snowy evening when my family first arrived, can you believe it, almost 4 years ago in mid-December, so that our family could arrive not only to start our ministry here in southern New England, in beautiful Connecticut, but to make it to Steve Nielsen, our former worship pastor, to make it to his grand finale after many, many decades of the Christmas musical. And so we drove through the snowstorm. We got here. Our house wasn't even ready yet. We were staying at one of our leaders' homes here. And it was a blast. I thought, they're trying to weed me out already. Can I survive the Christmas musical? I don't know how many shows there were, and the worship and the preaching. It was a trial by fire indeed. I don't think my family and I really knew what we were getting ourselves into when I said yes to the pastoral search team, the senior pastor search team led by Jonathan Watts. And as we started to settle in the new year and moving the kids' new year, we had our challenges, but it was exciting. Even our dog, our Labradoodle Lily, was excited to be in a new place, and she was running around, and we had a lot of anticipation of what God was going to be doing here at Trinity. But for sure, I was overwhelmed. Not knowing many of you, it's taken me still quite a few years to get many of the names, and your children, and some of your grandchildren. I'm still working on that, and so grant me grace and patience as I'm trying my best to continue to do that. But getting to know a new town, a new part of the country, a new church, but especially the history of Trinity, is something that was a challenge indeed. Having been a former church planter, basically the history starts with your opening launch service. And so even then, after you run a couple of years, it's still a challenge to get to know everyone and their histories. But imagine almost 130 years worth of history, and it was overwhelming. And so I can't remember who exactly, if it was Sharon in the office, but someone handed me that copy of We Are His People, the 100-year celebration, the anniversary. Read through this. This will be helpful to you. I said, thank you very much. And so I read it very carefully, took notes, highlighted, studied it. It was incredibly helpful. And to walk into what is what we call the chapel with all the vintage photos of years past and going back all the way to the late 1800s, and to think about the challenges they faced, the Swedish immigrants that moved to Manchester, that started this church as a basic Bible study, to what it has evolved to today, was an exercise in patience, and yet at the same time, exhilarating to see our forebears, our ancestors, those that helped launch this wonderful and beautiful church. But it was overwhelming. As we spent time to do that, I realized that it was very important to bring a sense of course, appreciation for all that has happened within the four walls of this building, the one on Spruce Street, and in the years past. At the same time, how do we move forward? Where are we going? I think that question is of critical importance as we think about why God started this church, why he's kept it going for almost 130 years, and what does he want to do with it? And so almost 4 years ago, when I shared the first vision revelation, we talked about mission, that it explains why an organization exists, but vision clarifies where we're going in the future. The strategy is the plan, the details of how that mission and vision will be accomplished. And so we had a great task ahead of us. How do we explain why we exist? At the same time, where are we going with this over century-old church in Manchester, Connecticut? And 4 years ago, I shared that in order for us to move forward, we have to think about a vision. What are four things that a vision does? It clarifies the direction. Where are we headed towards? It pursues a preferred future. It is, yes, aspirational, but it's something that we feel God has placed on our hearts. What does our future look like? Where are we going? It inspires people. It should not put out the fires, or that's too complicated, or I don't really want to do that. It should inspire us. And it also, fourthly, a vision inspires us, yes, but it also defines what we won't do. If a church tries to reach everyone and tries to do everything, it will end up accomplishing nothing. And though there are many great ministries and studies and classes and discipleship opportunities, and many ministries over the 130 years of this church, we can't do it all. And so how does our vision inform us of what we can focus on? It also defines what we won't do. And so as I arrived with my family, began to really think through, in fact, even from the very first phone call that Jonathan called me, where I didn't know where Connecticut was on the map, I started to pray and ask God, could you be calling us here, and why would you call me here to do what you want to do, Lord? What is it that you want us to go to do, and where do you want us to go? And so, thankfully, as I was enjoying a wonderful lunch by myself at my kids' favorite restaurant, Chick-fil-A, it really came to me. And this is the vision that we shared 4 years ago. Trinity Covenant Church will be a church for our city that pursues God and his passion for people through a gospel movement starting here in Manchester, then our surrounding communities, and then the world. And so 4 years ago, we shared that. We explained that. And to make it a little bit more easy to remember, we condense it to a phrase: to pursue God and his passion. His passion for people is the heartbeat of who we are and where we want to go. And I thought about my young children, and if they can't say the vision from memory, then it's not a vision that we should embrace. And so four words: pursue God, pursue people. And so this is where we're at as we reveal this 4 years ago. I believe that the pandemic, as heartbreaking that it has been for so many of us, and we're still in it, the pandemic has, at the same time, though it's taken away a lot from us, has given us a once-in-a-generation opportunity to reimagine who we are and what is God calling us to do. Where is He calling us to go that nothing else has given to us in this kind of way? The pandemic has given us this opportunity to unplug, to slow down, nearly stop, especially those months when we weren't even having in-person worship services. And once in a generation, once in a lifetime, to slow down, to almost stop, and really prayerfully lift up our eyes to heaven and ask, God, what do you want to do with this church? Where do you want us to go? What do you want with my family? And what do you want to do with my life? I believe that our beautiful history of nearly 130 years needs to be appreciated. And I have tried my best not to steamroll over that and just wipe out the past. That would be foolish. I would probably not have a job here if I did that. But our beautiful history must be the springboard to our desired future. Trinity has a depth and a deep-rootedness that has allowed us to navigate through this devastating pandemic in a way that many younger churches have really struggled with. And because of so many of you and your love for the Lord and your love for the local church and your love for the people here, evidenced by the nearly packed house we had yesterday to honor one of our own who was taken from us in Don Wood's passing. We love this church. But how do we appreciate and build upon the history and move toward our desired future that God has for us? And whether you are in your 20s or 30s or 70s or 80s or 90s, you don't have to be that old to often idolize our past, our history, to remain stuck in the glory days. My children still don't understand why I still listen to 80s music on my Spotify channel while I'm driving. Dad, what is that music? I'm stuck in the 80s. Lord, help me. But you're stuck in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, and so on and so forth. Ecclesiastes reminds us in chapter 7, verse 10, don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. No matter what age you are, what generation you represent, this is not to wipe away our history. No, we appreciate it. We're thankful. But let us not be stuck there. Let us build upon it to the future that God has for us. And so once again, this is not a knock against any of our members who have called Trinity home for the decades, 3 decades, 4 decades, maybe almost 5 decades without your love, your faithfulness, your giving, your sacrifice. We would not have a church called Trinity that we have met together even today. So thank you for your faithfulness over the years and decades. And so the question is, Pastor, we know the vision, pursue God, pursue people, that's great. But what does that practically mean? Where do we go from there? All right, pursue. That's great. This is what God has put in my heart, flowing out of our vision as we try to come out of the pandemic and think about the future that God has for us. What does it mean practically? We must pursue new people, we must pursue new generations, and we must pursue in a new spirit. We must pursue new people. We must pursue the generations that aren't strongly represented in our church, and that's different for every church. And we'll talk about it in just a sec. And in a new spirit. Jesus' word burns a fire in our hearts. Luke 15:4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? It's a rhetorical question. Of course they would, because that sheep is loved. It was one of their own. That sheep is lost. And a true shepherd would not just love the 99 that are already there, but the one that is out there, that is lost, that is in danger, that is heading toward the cliff. We must have a heart for those that are lost. And this doesn't just mean the completely unchurched. It's not just people that would never identify with the Christian faith, though it includes them. It is members in your own family. It is some of your sons and daughters. It is some of your grandchildren. It is some of your neighbors, your coworkers, who do not know the love of Christ. God calls us to pursue new people. In a book that the key leaders studied together this past year, in the Unstuck Church, we were reminded any organization, including a church, that doesn't focus on reaching new people has already started to decline and will eventually die. Wow. And yes, you could take that in a corporate sense or in your business, but a church that fails to exhibit the heart of Christ, that breaks for the one lost sheep, the one that is heading toward the edge of the cliff, that is lost and hurting and wondering where their true home is, has to be in our hearts as well. And so this past summer, in a well-received series on the art of neighboring, we asked ourselves a question as, in the midst of the pandemic, we looked at our neighbor. What if Jesus meant to love our literal neighbors as ourselves? And many of you took it upon yourselves, a challenge that we gave, to get to know neighbors, to take a step of faith. When you're running, as I was, with your dog, you have 23 minutes to circle the neighborhood in your daily jog. These days it's more weekly, but anyways, to stop when the Holy Spirit says stop, and to engage, and to love, and listen, and get to know who your neighbors are. Invite them over to your home, as we have done, to get to know their names, their stories. We are surrounded by people who have yet to discover the joy of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And we cannot ignore them. If we are a church that truly has as its head Jesus, his heart for the lost must beat through ours as well. We look even in our own neighborhoods of how many do not know him, how many are unchurched. In a study looking at the past several years from 2007 to 2014, no major Christian tradition is growing in the United States today. Those that consider themselves Christian has dropped from 78% to almost 70, and this was done up until 2014. Imagine what it is today. Those who identify as religiously unaffiliated, atheist, agnostic, and the most prevalent title of all, the nuns, have jumped from 16 to over 23%, and that is growing rapidly and exponentially. In the midst of these, yes, disturbing and discouraging statistics, we hear Jesus' voice, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. John chapter 10, verse 16. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Could we once again hear the words of Jesus and have our hearts begin to break for what breaks the heart of God? That is what a local church has to have as we think about the pursuit. We have to be engaged in praying for and pursuing in an active way people that need to know the love of Christ. Secondly, Pastor, what do you mean by pursue God and pursue people? We need to not only pursue new people that God has sprinkled throughout our lives, but we also need to think generationally in new generations. And often that is, in some ways, a greater challenge. And I think every church has a generation that is their mission field. That is, the heart of God bleeds for a particular demographic that often is not strongly represented. And God has a heart for all people, does he not? In my previous churches, it would have been people, anyone over 50 years old was the missing demographic. Kathy and I were considered the wise old sages of our church because we were a few years older in our 30s and then 40s. And they said, how did you get that old? When you plant a church in an urban center with predominantly 20s and 30s, maybe 40s, the missing demographic is older people. We pray, Lord, bring in gray-haired people, please, Lord. Because it was our missing demographic. But here at Trinity, as we think about, and this does not mean that we don't continue to reach people of all ages, young, old, older. We always pursue people that God has brought into our lives. But with intentionality, the younger generation, young people infuse congregations with energy and intensity. Healthy churches reach young people, and young people make churches healthier. If your church is reaching 20-year-olds, your church will reach 60 years old. Young adults between the ages of 18 and 29 represent about 22% of the adult population here in America, but often less than 10% of church attendees in local churches throughout this country. And for our church, I'm sure it's much less. Every church needs all generations represented. And for us, this is a huge missing piece of the family that we desire to see in our church. Every church needs young people, but young people also need a thriving church, a healthy church, a church that appreciates, loves, and is willing to invite them along in the journey, and when the appropriate time comes, to even empower them with authority to help lead our churches and ministries. A healthy church will do all they can to reach the generations that God has a heart for, to love them, disciple them, train them, and then send them out to serve. And so the question we have to ask, even in the short-sightedness of just trying to survive this pandemic and how do we get through this winter, is not only how do we regather people, and we need to continue to do that, but the question is, what are we going to look like in the next 10 years if we don't make any changes and we stay status quo? What are we going to look like in 15 to 20 years? I don't think I'll be here because of my age. But what do you think? What are we going to look like? What will this church look like if we continue the path that we're going without making some major shifts? How are we going to build a church not only for our children and grandchildren, but for our grandchildren's children and their grandchildren? That is how we need to think as we think about generational discipleship. And so this is one of the challenges and one of the practical outworkings of what does it mean to pursue people, new generations, and a new spirit, thirdly. Pastor, what are you talking about? We believe there is one Holy Spirit, yes. There is one gospel, yes. There is one Jesus, yes. But the new spirit, I'm talking about methodology. I'm talking about ministry. I'm talking about strategy. We have to evolve. We have to shift because the culture constantly does. I barely can keep up with my children and all the things that they are engaged in, whether social media, TikTok, all the things that they learn from. James, where did you learn that? TikTok. You're first grade, right? Yes, Daddy. You're really behind, Dad. You're old. Churches can't have new influence without giving up their old ways. They can't reach new people without giving up their old methods. Churches can't see people experience new life in Christ without challenging them to give up their old life. You can't preserve the past and expect to go to a new place of health in the future. Healthy churches are not the same churches that they were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or even 2 years ago. They're constantly adapting and shifting with the same gospel, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same message, but packaged in a different way that shifts along in order to reach new people for Christ. That is the challenge, and I find it a challenge the older that I become. And that is a challenge for a church that is nearly 130 years old. Tony Morgan goes on to say, it is the stubborn attachment to the past that leads to the church's ultimate demise. Traditions win over life transformation. Personal preferences crowd out sacrifice and full devotion to the gospel mandate. Healthy churches embrace new changes to get new results. New things make us uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable the older I get, but new things require us to give up control. And new things make me change. The Spirit is always doing new things in order to push us out of our patterns of comfortability, security, and trusting in Jesus as we learn to walk on water. The pandemic has brought about an opportunity for us to revisit, to reimagine, and to ask the questions, God, where do you want us to go? Who do you want us to reach? What are we going to look like in the next 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years? If we don't ask those questions and make changes, we will be inward-focused. And inward-focused churches are not sensitive to the barriers that are created for the unchurched and those who are not yet believers. And often as a leader, as a pastor, as a board, as key leaders, we often, out of fear for making members unhappy, are afraid to change. But we must change in order to reach new people, new generations in new ways. We do it as we honor the past, as we build upon the foundation that God has blessed our church with. We're not just wiping it away or despise it. No, we treasure it. We honor it. But we don't stay there. We use that as a springboard to ask, God, where are you leading us for the next generation and the next season? Last year, in our vision message, we introduced the theme of regather. In the midst of the profound scattering and once-in-a-lifetime generational challenge of a deadly pandemic, when we were meeting for months and months in person, when we as the pastors and preachers and leaders were just live streaming and there was no one here except the tech team and those leading worship, that was a strange experience. That was a challenge, and we realized, what is the theme for this year? It was regather. Regather those that are scattered by COVID and all the fears, and let's once again pursue our fellow members. We never give that up. There are so many that still need to be pursued and regathered, but as we build upon that, the theme for this year is renew. It is renew. What does that mean, Pastor? To renew ourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer as we seek spiritual revival, unity, and a new sense of mission after a season of great challenge. Unless we are renewed inwardly by God's Spirit, we cannot have the strength and power to pursue new people. We will not have the power to attract and minister in love to new generations, and we will not be able to do it in a new spirit. More than anything else, we need to be renewed by God's Spirit, and as we are renewed, He will give us the power and the heart to pursue new people, to get out of our comfort zone, out of our fears, insecurities, our selfishness, and begin to think about the harvest field at hand. He will give us a heart for the generations that are not represented in our churches, in our church here at Trinity, and we'll do everything we can to begin to see that generation represented, because God loves them, and they are part of this family, the family of God and His kingdom, and we do it in a way, in a new spirit. Whatever it takes, Lord, do it through us. And we will do it as we are renewed by the Spirit of God. And so in this coming fall, as we introduce some new discipleship pathways, as we begin to share our strategies by which we desire to see new people pursued and new generations pursued in new, innovative, and missional ways here, right where we're at, we will do it as we refer back to our vision to pursue God and His passion for people. Are you with me, Trinity? Are you with me? Let's pray. Renew. Renew us, Lord. Renew my tired soul with a fresh, life-changing encounter with Your Holy Spirit, who always points us to Jesus. Renew our marriage, Lord. Teach us to forgive and love as we have received in You to our husband and to our wife. Renew my family, Lord. As I don't know how to reach out to my own children unless Your Spirit changes me, God. Lord, renew our church, that we would have a new heart, the heart of Christ, for the lost, for those that are least in the kingdom. Renew our church to have a heart that is broken when we do not see the nations or the generations represented in our midst. Break our hearts, Lord. Renew us as we meet You once again. We do this, Lord, as we are humbled by Your constant, faithful, patient pursuit of us who are constantly going our own way. Oh, thank You for being a pursuing God that continues to go after us. And so, Lord, would You renew us to experience Your love again? Would You bring us together through the challenges of a once-in-a-generation challenge like a pandemic to ask, Lord, this is Your church. Where do You want us to go? And would You give us a heart that reflects yours for our community, our neighborhoods, our streets, our friends, family members. Bring about a renewal like no other to Trinity Covenant Church, that we can be your agents of transformation in a time and generation that so desperately needs a touch of heaven. So come, Holy Spirit, renew us this year, that we are able to pursue the things and the people and the ministries that you desire for us, as we desire to reach new people and new generations in new ways for your honor and for your glory.